Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
Back on Lance Day Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 141, H2R Voices. I got my man Jonesy in the booth with me. We're actually here at Embassy Suites. Thank you for all the people at Embassy Suites that allowed us to broadcast here this week. There are two dominant discussions that I want to hit. This one we're going to talk about now, and I also want to talk about the next segment. I want to talk about the WNBA and women's basketball and where it's come from, where is it going, should the women get paid more, all of those things. And I know some of your thoughts on it. But the other huge topic in sports, you know, beyond just the playoff series that are going on in the NBA and the NHL right now, is the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
We just had the spring games over the last several weeks. So all of the big players, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, all of the national championship contenders, Alabama, Georgia, they've had their spring games. And then after the spring game series, the portal is open for another, the transfer portal is open for an additional 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three times a year where you can transfer. You can transfer right after the season. You can transfer if your coach leaves for any particular reason. And then after the spring game, you know, going into summer practices and really setting your roster for the year, you can transfer. There's been a lot of publicity over people who have transferred. I know that Deion Sanders, Colorado's lost close to 20 players.
Mm-hmm.
They've built their entire team on the transfer portal. I haven't had a chance to talk to you much. We've, you know, when you've called into the show, we've talked about it a little bit. I think you called it semi-professional intercollegiate athletics or something to that take. But what are your real true thoughts about the portal, people moving in and out? And I'm not talking about NIL, because NIL is another animal.
Mm-hmm.
But the portal itself, you know, when we were coming up, if you transferred, you had to
sit out a year. Mm-hmm.
And so just from an eligibility standpoint, you may transfer once. I mean, there are people that went to Indiana and played for Bob Knight in basketball. They didn't like playing for Bob Knight, so they transferred. Sometimes you would see a high-profile player transfer, you know, to a big school like mm-hmm. Alabama or Michigan or something like that. But now everybody's in the portal. Like, this, the portal is like a third of the athletes. What do you think about the portal and how it's managed?
And also, when we were coming up, you usually saw what I would refer to as upward transfers.
Right.
Where you might have started at a mid-major.
Right. Proved yourself.
Right. And now you want to transfer to one of the big boys. Or,
which actually makes sense,
right? Or if you're at one of the big boys and something, they just, and you were on the bench and you were looking
right.
forward to your shot next year, and then they recruit over you, bringing
right.
some new stud who's going to take your shot,
and that makes sense to transfer in that case.
But
now people are transferring for money.
Now it's just a free
for all.
People
are transferring just for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
People are transferring because they don't want to compete. They're second on the depth chart. It's not if you're
mm-hmm.
fifth on the depth chart. And you're playing for Alabama, and you're the fifth running back for Alabama, which means that for most of the D1 teams, you could be a starter, second stringer. That makes sense. But now you have people at big schools. They're second on the depth chart. They just
mm-hmm.
don't want to compete.
Right. And that's why I would say, to me, the idea of the transfer portal is nice. You know, on paper, you like the idea of players having the ability to choose their own destiny, as it were, having
right.
some semblance of control over their careers after the entire history of the NCAA going in the opposite direction, where
right.
players had no agency at all. So from that sense, you like it, but what couldn't be, well, I shouldn't say couldn't be anticipated. It could be anticipated, but you can't really do much about it at this point, is that you get these kids who, like you said, don't want to compete. have a sense of entitlement. Some other school says, oh, we got this NIL money for you.
Right.
And this kid says, oh, word, I can get the bag, I'm gone. Like, yeah, I could have competed to be the star at Duke, but
right.
Some school in Chicago has a car dealership that wants to get throw $100,000 at me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do that instead.
But what do you think about it? I mean, it's free market capitalism, right? Mm-hmm. So it's nothing different than what's happening in any other industry, even with other athletics. You have in college baseball, you can play in a minor league. So you have people that are signing six-figure, even seven-figure deals that play mm-hmm. high-end college baseball, and then they're going into the Phillies farm system or the Mets farm system or the Yankees farm system. You have in tennis and golf, you can still be in college and still qualify for PGA events and get paid if you place in those events. But to me, this is high profile because football and basketball are the two large revenue-driving sports, especially football.
The suddenness and the changing of the system with very limited structure to it. Like, in other businesses, if I'm a big-time lawyer in New York and right. I leave my firm, my contract, my non-compete.
Yeah, you got to non-compete. You can't go from the top firm to Manhattan right. to the second firm in Manhattan.
College went from a place where there was structure, probably too much,
right?
Where your coach had to sign off on wherever you
exploiting, yeah,
where they were exploiting kids.
Now it's kind
to
of
now,
the Wild West.
It went to literally the Wild right. West now, where
I'd rather it be this way,
and I would too
if I had to choose between the two. Now, what they could do, which would be wise, there should probably be some type of ombudsman or some type of leader or commissioner, mm-hmm. like you have in other sports. I mean, NCAA has become pro sports, so there should definitely be a commissioner in college football that has the ability to veto or set some type of structure and rules, at least on that there's nothing that could be nefarious. You shouldn't, I don't think NIL, the concept of NIL was so that if I'm a player and I have a podcast
mm-hmm.
or I have my own business or somebody wants to bring me to their car dealership and say, hey, James Lewis will sign a bunch of footballs. You know, if I'm Johnny Manziel,
right.
I'm a Heisman winner. It's like Johnny Manziel is going to come to this car dealership, a Lexus dealership in Texas, and he's going to sign 100 footballs, and you're going to give him $1,000 a football.
Mm-hmm.
That's your image as a person. I don't think the NCAA has a right to own your image. I don't think Ohio State or Penn State has a right to own you as a human being. But what it wasn't for, what it's become, is you have these collectives that just say that, all right, we need a star wide receiver. He's a five-star. Mm-hmm. We have $500K for him in a car. That's not what it was meant to be. That's what it's become.
But that was foreseeable.
It was definitely foreseeable.
Because
people were doing it under the table before.
Exactly.
Right.
The dirty little secret every program had was we had these boosters.
Right. I mean, it's,
and
right.
your boosters are high income, high right. net worth guys that own businesses yep. and things. So now they could just do it out in the open and call it a collective. This is the group of USC, you know, right. graduates, alum that own corporations in the area, and they're willing to give contracts to alums, right? Or contracts to recruits. Like,
right.
So that's basically all it is. They've just took those boosters that were in the background, handing you bags of cash.
Right.
And now the booster actually gets some value back because he can use the kid in advertising.
What do you think the end game is for college athletics? I think that ultimately, I've already seen some mock-ups of this. The SEC and the Big Ten want to move out. They're basically saying that we drive three-fourths of all the revenue for, mm-hmm. for college sports. They want to move out and start their own Super League. Maybe bringing Clemson and Florida State and a couple of other scattered programs around the country. But I'm hearing that, you know, the next set of deals, you have this 12-team playoff that they're starting in college football. And the next set of deals will be is putting a Supreme League of about 30 to 35 teams
mm-hmm.
in college football. Then everyone that's not in that league goes back to their old conferences, and they just play regional sports for everything else. So, you know, Villanova still in the Big East. They're still, you know, having a Big East schedule. You know, Villanova not being a big-time mm-hmm. football program, but a big-time college. So they're not impacted.
So,
you know, a school like Kansas, who's a solid college football team but not a big-time, they're still in the Big 12, but they're just not getting that big bag with the top.
So here's what's likely to happen if you do that. that super we've been talking about this for years. Yeah. We've seen it coming.
Yeah.
But what happens in that event is that those schools that have big time football programs, and most of the schools that even that have big time basketball programs are schools that have big time football programs as well. So all your revenue sports will be in those two conferences. The teams that actually have any shot of making money will be in those two super conferences.
Well, I think some, I don't know if UNC makes it. UNC and Duke could be frozen out. They're not football powers.
That's true. But if they get frozen out, here's what happens. Everybody who's frozen out loses.
Yeah, I think so.
And at that point,
I think maybe Duke, UNC might be able to stay afloat.
Hold on, because let me finish the thought. Because what happens is a lot of those schools' biggest paydays came from playing schools that will be in that super conference.
Right.
You're not getting those checks anymore.
So you're saying that they won't play outside.
So even if you might have been profitable in basketball before, right, you're not anymore.
You have nobody to play.
Because you have nobody to play.
So if you're UNC, you're only playing Big East teams, and you're playing you're playing like Wichita State and Drake and schools like that.
So you may see 10 to 15 good basketball schools form a basketball conference, and college sports may cease to exist at a lot of places.
Well, I think that that's the end game. I think that Chip Kelly talked about that before quitting his job at UCLA to go to Ohio State.
And I hate to say this, but the laws on the books, Title IX, which would require a lot of very unprofitable sports to be maintained once you decide to start playing sports, the fiscally responsible thing for a lot of these institutions would just be eliminate their athletic programs altogether. Because you don't have the resources to keep dumping money into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in 10 years, there'll be significantly less Division I sports. I think people will be taking a step down to D2. I've heard that Stanford has thought about terminating a lot of their athletic programs because, you know, they weren't able to make the leap into the Big Ten. They're going to do ACC for a couple of years, but from a logistics standpoint, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
And I think even Stanford, which is a very successful sports program, it has a very good women's basketball team, women's volleyball team, men's volleyball team, they do a lot of sports. You could see Stanford's sports go away.
Exactly.
Because it just isn't profitable. And Stanford is a school where, unlike an Ohio State or an LSU, they're not tethered to their sports.
Right.
They're an academic, you know, blockbuster institution.
Exactly. When Stanford is playing football in the Pac-10 and getting Pac-10 TV money, it makes sense to play football and then play the other sports.
Right.
When you're not getting Pac-10 big contract TV contract because you're in some smaller league that gets a fraction of the money because all the top talent's in the Super League, and that's where all the advertising revenue and everything else is going to go. Yeah, Stanford's just going to go back to being an academic institution.
Now, that's a very good point. What we'll do is we're going to cut to a break because we're up against the break, but we'll be back. We'll continue this conversation. We'll be back more on Lance J Radio Network.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Yo, this is your boy Lance J, a.k.a. the Paragon of Sports Talk Excellence, a.k.a. the Heisenberg of Broadcast Radio, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wall Street. Listen to my show, the Lance J Radio Network, now a part of the Howard University Radio Network, HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141, every Friday at 9 a.m.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy. because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
Okay, well, check this out. They were doing the premiere of Private Parts at Madison Square Garden. And as I was going to the premiere, I see Donald Trump on the corner of 31st Street and 8th Avenue by the garden. I walked over to him. I said, with excitement, hey, how you doing, Mr. Trump? He looks down at me and says, not now. I said, wow. But my name is Flavor Flav. He said, not now.
James Lewis.
I said to him, yo, I'm the one that gave your son Donald the autograph in Planet Hollywood. He said, good for you. Good for you.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.